clown, a clown, a clown, they call me a clown. Laugh, clown, laugh.
Thank you, Bert Lahr, for an inspiration for Adventures in Artslandia and a chat with Danielle Weathers. Today, I am sitting across from Danielle Weathers. Now, she's a woman. How long have you been in town now?
Well, I was born here, but I was away for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm. When did you come back?
I came back in 2004.
2004.
And was out of the theater scene for some time.
Uh-huh.
And working on family.
Uh-huh.
And then, I guess, came back into the theater world maybe 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, was Adrift in Macau was last summer, right, at Broadway Rose?
Yes, last fall.
Yeah. Last fall.
Yeah.
That's where you kind of hit my radar. Although I knew you before that, when I saw you in that play, oh my gosh. First of all, it was a great production. I loved it. And, you know, I love Pam. She's an old friend. Pam Mahon, who was wonderful. And then, oh my goodness. But you, I literally did not know. I'd met you before, but I didn't know it was you on stage because I kept thinking, who is that? Was one of the funniest funniest performances. It made me just laugh.
I was a good group of people.
Oh my goodness. It inspired me. You know, as a comedian, I thought, okay, or I guess the word is comedienne. I don't know. I thought, okay, that's funny. I like funny. Funny good.
Isaac runs a fun circus.
Yeah,
and,
he
and
did.
And Broadway Rose definitely runs a wonderful.
I was just listening to a podcast with George C. Wolfe about trust in a rehearsal room. And I was thinking about what that means to us as a culture and how what we do in the room and what we do in the theater then reverberates, like the butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm.
How we can spread trust and beauty in that way. What do you think about that?
Well, George C. Wolfe certainly is a tremendous advocate for that,
mm-hmm.
and a leader and a voice. That. I think as I get older, and I'm sure we all feel this way in your art or in your family or in your lifestyle, the more you listen and the less you do and allow people to inform you what is needed in a given situation, that certainly has a huge component in the reading parlor.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's about development and about fostering relationships and about figuring out chemically who we are in the room. As a collective, I think George Wolfe speaks to that a lot.
Well, that brings us to a good subject that we may as well leap into, and that is the reading parlor, which is something that you're developing. And tell everybody a little bit about it. And every actor that I've spoken to that's been involved has just had a wonderful time, and it's the great fun of the process of sharing, of trust, of love. I don't know. It's the best part of what we do.
Flowers. No. Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful. Thus far, it's become a really fun playground,
mm-hmm.
for us as a community to foster relationships. But the real reason is edification, is edifying ourselves, almost collective library time. It's a first date with a play,
mm-hmm.
someone said, and that's really stuck with us. Us being all-inclusive, participants, listeners, anyone in the room who's having an experience with a play for the very first time. And that is it. We literally have zero rehearsals. It's a splash and we're done. And that allows everyone low expectation, but just high enjoyment and a rush in that we get to see who we are as a group that day versus any other day, and literally read a play aloud and have library time together.
Mm.
And the things that have come out of it have been really wonderful. We've had some folks from various theater companies on the developing side come in to listen. It's certainly more fun for them, I've been told, than sitting at their desk and reading it themselves,
mm.
but just hearing it off the page with voices that they may or may not know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a nice secondary component of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's keeping those channels open,
yeah.
because we, as any organization, you know, you become familiar with the people you work with and you and feel trustworthy with them or feel trust, and so you gravitate to them, and that little tiny kernel of fear of the new, sometimes you've got to keep pushing it.
Absolutely.
Pushing it out.
Well, and to that point, I mean, we have some incredible work happening all over Portland in the arts, not just theater, but in the fine arts as well. Mm-hmm. And it has allowed us to get out of our comfort zone a lot and work with people whom we've never met for the very first time, and here you are in a seat in bed, or here you are in a seat, you know, you've just shot him, or but it's just about telling stories and getting to know a new group of folks. We have so many great companies, but just by nature of some of the work within a company, you stick to that group so much that it's nice to kind of jump ship and just be in a room of some other people and see who you are in that room.
Are you cross-pollinating in the reading parlor with other arms of art, you know, visual art, dance, or are you, you know,
well,
I guess things are really mushing over.
That's a great question. I mean, we definitely started, I started selfishly just wanting to make time to read plays and to read them aloud, which I always enjoy much more than with bad coffee at my kitchen table, you know, and I found that that was a nice workout for everyone artistically, for us to just make that time and commit to that time. But to my surprise, we've had some folks directorially, dramaturgically, some of the fine arts to come in and say, wow, well, from a designer perspective, this would be something interesting in my portfolio. I'd like to create a piece, a model of this. And it's just been kind of interesting for others as well.
That's
and
great.
A couple of mixed media groups have come in just to listen to a piece, wondering if maybe they wanted to, because we're not necessarily pitching this, it's just library time, but it allows folks to say, wow, is this a piece that fits our company? And would we want to fully mount a production of this? Or that's been surprising. I did not expect that to happen.
Well, and it's also interesting because I was just thinking about this. I just came off Sweeney Todd that we talked about. And when you do a piece of such magnitude as an artist and as a person who's often looking, okay, now how am I going to challenge myself again? And I think how to get inspired. And so if you're in that room, whether you're with whomever you're with, you start to think you're with like-minded people, you're building trust, you're with people who are interested in this process of art making. That
and enjoying the process together.
Creating that room, that joyfulness, even just feeling the joy of the work and not even liking the play or anything, you're touched.
Definitely.
You're changed.
Definitely.
And you can think, oh, I could go back into the grind of trying to find another job or making another job for myself or... Yeah. You know, getting up and feeding my daughter breakfast, whatever, you know.
Right. Rinse, leather, repeat.
Yeah, because, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts of directors and art makers, and because that's the kind of process I'm really interested in. I'm always looking for something to the diving board.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're making an incredible opportunity for everybody.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the FaceTime more than anything, just in today's age. We digitally connect so much, and you know, I'm in a family of five. Making time for that is a time management piece. You're an event planner. We all are, and so just having the time solely to connect and to engage artistically has been wonderful. And not on a fully mounted production. That's also a great experience. But this is about process and about just swimming in it for a while. And that's been a pretty successful experiment.
And you're coming up on an anniversary.
Yes, we just celebrated our first year anniversary. Portland Center Stage very graciously gave us a space and hosted us for two readings. We wanted to do two to celebrate in June. Just did that last week. And it was wonderful. And we've had some really interesting things come out of those two readings. Various companies are considering productions of both of those pieces.
So people can read them if they're so inclined.
Curious Case of the Watson Intelligence by Madeline George, and Going to a Place Where You Already Are by Becca Brunstetter. Becca also has another piece that is going to be fully mounted at Portland Center Stage next year, this coming season, rather, the Oregon Trail. Both Madeline and Becca are amazing.
I read writers. About Becca in on the website at PCS.
Yeah, she's incredible. Mm-hmm.
So nice to see two women.
Yes, isn't it? Isn't it? So I'm excited about that. And the Kilroy list just came out, so we're looking at next year what we want to read off of that.
We have to explain what the Kilroy list, because not everybody might know what it is.
The Kilroy list is something that began very recently, 2 years ago, three years ago. A group of women decided they were fed up, and justifiably so, with wanting to balance the playing field more with respect to plays being fully produced on the regional and professional theater circuit in America and all around the world. So they helped out various regional theaters by compiling a list of their top recommendations of female-written and trans-written works, just to get it on the desk and help them push that along.
And there's a website that you can consult if you're inclined to further your own education on women playwriting.
Kilroys.org.
Yeah, and trans writing. It's a great place to go and find some new stuff to get your kettle boiling.
Yes, and a very worthy read, to say the least.
So when's your next upcoming event?
Our next piece is on Sunday, July 10th, 6:30 p.m. at Coho. And it is actually a local playwright. It's called Love Me, Fusili. It's a new work by John Freed. It's a play about the history of Mary Wollstonecraft, the infamous and scandalous writer, feminist, first essentially suffragist, and her circle of friends kind of circa 1790s. And they are colorful characters.
Interesting. I heard a really interesting thing on NPR yesterday, and it's a book that's getting a lot of notoriety right now about this trend of later and later marriage for women and what that means. And I was so fascinated by it. And, of course, reading the 1790s, you know, and thinking about what that was when a girl could conceivably think of their adventuresome life ending at age 13 because they were going to be married.
Yes.
And now what's how things are kind of turning on its ear.
Equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Who's going to be reading in that play? Do you know yet?
We have most of the folks confirmed. We have two that we're just waiting to hear back from. Chris Porter, Alyssa Jessup, who is new to town and is brilliant. Jonas Israel, Devin McCoy, Marianne Glazebrook, Hester Schell, Philip Burns, Jesse Walters, and one other reader that we're confirming, and then some will read stage directions. We always have someone read stage directions, and everyone's been very great to pitch in on that front, just so we can hear.
Is the info online somewhere if people want to go to Coho? Is it on Coho's site or is it on yours?
Well, they have been very helpful and just advocating for us like crazy, piggyback marketing us a lot, which has been wonderful. But we have a Facebook page. We're pretty simple. It's the Reading Parlor on Facebook. We are devising a website right now, but that probably won't be mounted until fall. But I have someone working on that right now. And so Facebook is the easiest way to. And we also have an email list. So.
And what's the actual title on Facebook?
Facebook/ The Reading Parlor.
The Reading Parlor.
If you look up Reading Parlor.
And it's P-A-R-L-O-U-R, right?
P-A-R-L-O-R.
Oh, I don't know why I thought I had was that British spelling.
I think it is the Americana version.
We're going American on this.
Boy, now I'm going to need a cup of coffee. I'm not sure that that's the case. But.
So what are you up to next? Just personally, forget the Reading Parlor
I have a couple of irons in the fire. Nothing definite yet. We have, I actually was just here yesterday. But I finished Zilla and Zoe, a film, and that comes out. They're previewing it for us in October.
Was that shot here in Portland?
Yeah,
what was that about?
Jessica Scalise is an incredible, very strong female screenwriter and director. And she did her stint in California and found her home here recently. And she is just killing it. She's wonderful and an incredible writer. And I definitely expect a lot to come from her. She's a name to keep in your mix.
Say it one more time.
Jessica Scalise.
Okay.
She's incredible.
You heard it here first.
She's on my top list mm-hmm. of people to work with. And I'm writing something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. You probably don't want to disclose what it's about.
Well, I can say very little about it. It's about an autism. It's about a man with Asperger's. And it's a multimedia piece about he and his relationship with his characters. He's a comic strip artist, and he has a relationship with his characters.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
So, and a woman has to kind of pull him out and help him mix into the real world socially more.
Real world.
Yeah, real world, said very loosely. So we'll see where that goes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's been really wonderful talking to you.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming to the reading parlor and getting my feet wet, literally.
Thanks for listening to Adventures in Artslandia. See you next week.